This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'd like to take a look once again just at the Word of God. Paul now begins to deal with dying, which is an interesting topic, but in the light of what Paul had been going through, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he said that this light affliction worketh but a moment. And he begins to lay out that he was troubled on every side, perplexed, distressed, and how that he had this sentence of death within himself, that he should not come to trust in his own life. But it would be the work of the Holy Spirit that would give him the ability to come to see the power of God. And this is the key so much in our life that we come to realize that heaven is the answer. And the question is, how could a man like Paul be willing to suffer all the things that God said that he would suffer and have the testimony of the joy of Jesus Christ? I was reading the other day about a small congregation at a Methodist church. Henry M. Walters, addressing his congregation, suddenly switched from his sermon and started to describe a vision of his own death, after which he fell dead on the platform. "I see a light," he said. "The light is opening. I see the throne of God, and there are angels on either side of the throne. I hear beautiful music. Jesus is coming down. I am dying." And he fell down to the platform. When his congregation had recovered from the shock, some of them thought that this was just a sermon illustration. As they went up, they found that he was truly dead. Dwight L. Moody said it, I think, the very best. He said, "Someday you're going to read in the paper that Dwight L. Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? A word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that's all out of this old clay pot, into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot tempt, a body fashioned like unto the glorious body. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of the spirit will live forever." And so Paul now begins to address, I believe, one of the greatest fears that we have in our life, and that is death. I had an interesting week last week. I was studying and preparing for my message Thursday night. I got a phone call from a man that was dying. His friends called and said that he had to have an operation, otherwise he was going to die. It was going to be a quadruple bypass, and there was not a lot of hope for him. When I came down to the hospital and looked at him, he said that, "I did not want to have the operation until I talked to you, so the doctors wanted me down there." I looked in his eyes, and I saw a terror that I have never seen before. He said, "Pastor Steve, I'm not right with God, and I know that. I have not been living for the Lord, though God has been after my life for a lot of years. I know exactly what He wants me to do, but I have been living in rebellion all these years. And now I'm in bed, ready to die, and I'm not ready to meet the Master." I looked at him and I said, "You're not." He says, "No." He said, "I have it in my head, but I have absolutely no peace in my heart. And I believe that if I was to die now, I would not know where I would be." And he was trembling as I've never seen a man tremble before. His eyes were petrified with fear and terror. And so I said, "Well, let's pray." And he said, "You think God will forgive me?" And I said, "As He forgave the man on the cross, He's willing to forgive you." And so we prayed the sinner's prayer. And when we were done, there was a peace and a joy in his life that was just unbelievable. And so he went into the operation, came out very successful, is coming out of recovery today. Everything is really great. And I expect God to be doing something very, very special within his life. But the terror that I saw in his life, I could not believe it. And so I came back and began to study for this morning. And I begin to understand a little bit of what Paul was saying. That his whole life was based upon heaven. That he was looking for the kingdom of God. And so we begin to realize that Paul was going to die. He understood that. Every bit of his life was being persecuted. He didn't know if he was going to live through the day or be killed that evening. He was persecuted, sought after. You remember he was beaten 3 times with a rod. 5 times he was ripped. And in Lystra, he almost died because they stoned him to death. And so he had this sentence of death in himself. But he believed that his life was a vehicle for God. A place where he could manifest the glory of God. A place that he could give evidence to the life of Christ. And so he gave witness to the resurrection. And Paul anticipated any day he was willing to face death. He looked it right in the eyes and understood it. And he was not afraid of it. And I believe that we are really afraid of dying. Many anxieties and fears really grip our heart. We're not real sure what to do with it. And when we do funerals, we begin to see people beginning to have a difficult time because they push it down. They don't want to talk about it. And yet the Bible talks about death more than anything else in the whole Bible. Jesus talked about death more than anything else. And it's something that you need to understand, that in a world of uncertainty, this is one certainty that you need to grip a hold of, that you are going to die one day, or you're going to be raptured. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I belong to the Lord. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God can call me up. So there's a possibility that I could be raptured. But there is a possibility that God could take me at any moment. Or God could take a loved one. Or God could take a friend. And we begin to have difficult times with what God begins to do. But once again, we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to read all the way down to verse 11. And then we'll talk about this tonight, but want to look at one verse today. For we know, and the word know in the Greek is by experience. It's the same word that we read in the book of Genesis, and Adam knew his wife. An intimate relationship, not just a knowledge in the head, but a knowledge within the heart. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, in this body we're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, and that would be the righteousness of Christ. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed, upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the same thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident. Underline verse 6. We are always confident. And here's the word knowing. That whether we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we're here today, and so we are absent from the Lord. Not from his presence, but from his presence in the sense of face to face. And so he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And then he said in verse 8, we are confident, underline that. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And the key word is willing rather to be absent. In other words, to depart, to have this body dissolved, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. And then the key again, verse 11, knowing. Now you see in verse 1, knowing. And then in verse 6, knowing. And then in verse 7, knowing. Verse 11, knowing, therefore, or wherefore, pointing back, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So when you take a look at these 11 verses, you begin to see the tremendous victory that Paul really had. I don't think there are very few that ever come to the point of the victory that he really displayed. He walked in such a confidence with the Lord. He knew exactly what God wanted in his life. You remember on that day of Damascus Road, it was there that God intervened. And it's a wonderful day when God begins to intervene within your life, where he now has the freedom to change directions in your life. And God will stop you out of his grace, and he stopped Paul. And there Paul said once again, Lord, what would you have me to do? And God spoke to Paul. He said, I'm going to show you the things you're going to suffer. And then you remember God gave to Paul that thorn in the flesh. And God opened to Paul a glimpse of heaven. And he caught a glimpse of what the glory of God was within his life. So his whole life was governed around the principle of going to heaven. And so he would not allow discouragement to be part of his life. He would not allow anxiety to overcome his life. And he would not walk through the door of fear because he believed in and through the Lord. And so Paul had learned the incredible thing about this world. It was only temporal things. And he said, these light afflictions, this moment that God is working in my life is going to be for a far greater glory. But he was sectioned and focused upon the eternal things. And that is the key, I believe, to a life of suffering, to a life of pain, to get that eternal perspective within his life. One day, believe it or not, it's all going to be over. The pain is going to be gone. The disappointment, the heartache, the broken relationships, the struggle within your flesh, all the things that you go through in your mind and heart, all the areas that you would like to see different in your heart and life are all going to be over. And you're going to wake up in the presence of God, and God is going to give you a brand new body. And you're going to see the Lord, and there will be no tears or sorrow or pain or agony, for Christ will be the light and the glory of that heaven. And you will be able to enjoy every moment of that waking hour. And so death should not have a fearful area within your life. Paul said, for me to die is to gain. And when you look at Christianity, they think we're crazy because they desire to live in this temporal world. We desire to maintain in this temporal world because we're looking for that house, that kingdom that is made without hands, that mansion that Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and receive you, and I'm going to give you that which I have made. And so the anticipating avenue of heaven, the joy of seeing heaven so crystal clear, and God is going to take away that overwhelming fear within our life. Notice in verse 6, he says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whether we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then notice in verse 8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So here you have the confidence and the surety of his life. In other words, he knew that God could save him. He knew that God could work in his life. And he believed that there was a place called heaven that he was on his way to go. And so he lived with these three things dominating his life. He knew that God could save him. He knew that God could heal him. He knew that God had a home for him. And that was the governing factor of his life. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. Just give you three simple things to try to explain, I believe, how Paul was able to overcome the fear and the anxiety, and what I was able to say to this guy in the hospital with absolute fear. What he didn't have, and what you can have, and what he finally found. Three simple things, and I want to say them to you right now. Number one, I know God will hold me together. Number one, I know God will hold me together. Number two, I know God will work all things out in my behalf. Second, I know that God will work all things out in my behalf. And number three, I know that God is going to take me to heaven. I know that God's going to take me to heaven. So first of all, I know God will hold me together. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Just two verses I like to look at. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 12, you remember this is the book that he was going to die in. This was his last book as he was in prison under Caesar Nero. He was about ready to be beheaded. And he said in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer." So in other words, he was suffering. "These things," and then the key, "nevertheless, I am not ashamed," and underline, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." So notice in verse 12, "of which cause I suffer these things." In other words, I am going to suffer. I'm going to go through it in this life. There's going to be difficulties arise in my behalf, but something is absolutely certain. "Nevertheless, I am fully persuaded." And then he says, "I know whom I have believed." That is the very first thing that I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that you need to know that God is able to save you, that God is able to forgive you, that God is willing to do a work in and through your life in a very powerful way. He was willing to save that man in the hospital. He was able to remove the sin and forgive him for all the things that he has done. And though this is a very simple thing to say, I think it's a very profound thing that we very seldom really ever understand. I believe that oftentimes we live in doubt, insecurity, and fears, wondering if God has even forgiven us. We look at the failure within our life. We see the things that we're not doing and we ought to be doing. We know that which we don't want to do, that we do. And so in our mind and our heart, we see that there are so many things that are not matching up to the life that God wants us to live. And so Satan comes, and he begins to condemn you. But the Bible very clearly states that there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. And then he says, "Who is going to separate you from the love of God?" And then he says, "Who is going to lay anything to your charge?" In other words, there is no separation, there is no guilt, and there is no condemnation because of what God has done. He's able. And Paul understood this. He said very simply in verse 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, "I know whom I have believed. I know that God was able to deliver me on that Damascus road, to forgive me of all the sins that I had committed. I had murdered so many people. I had brought tremendous havoc upon the church. I brought tremendous pain into people's lives. But on that day, God saved me, God arrested me, and God once again intervened in my life. And today, all things are brand new within my life." He knew that. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was with him and God was working in his behalf. Even as he saved Onesimus, running away from his master. Or Mark, you remember how he was a coward and quit, and how God allowed him to write the Gospel of Mark. Or Paul, who killed so many, and once again he becomes the pastor of so many lives. God is able to work in and through my life. And so Paul woke up every day knowing that God was able to save his life. that God was able to do a work in and through his life. Paul never gave up on God. And sometimes we give up. Sometimes we do not see God. Sometimes we see the situation and the problems, and we are so frightened about the future, and so concerned about the past, and so worried about the present. But Paul was able to focus on God and understand that the past, the present, and the future are all in God's hands in a very powerful way. He focused on God. And so I find that he knew that God would hold him together. And I believe that God wants you to know today that he'll hold you together, even though you feel your life has fallen apart. Even though things are not coming together, God wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt that he will hold you together. The second thing that really stands out to me in the life of Paul is found in Romans chapter 8. And if you want to turn there, it would be a great blessing in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The second time he says, I know. And I believe this really took his life and made it very strong. He said, I know God will work everything out. Not only, number one, that God is able to save me, but secondly, God is able to work in my life. Now, I believe that there are many today that believe that God is able to save them, but they do not believe that God's able to work in their life. They see the situation. They see the marriage. They see the situation of the children. They look at their business, they look at their finances, and they say, well, God is willing to save me, but he's not willing to work anything out in my life. And it's almost like we feel like we're Job. For all of a sudden, naked and poor, I came into this world. And God wants to use me as a battering ram and to use me as an example, but I don't believe that. I believe that God wants to work in your life. The Bible very clearly states that his thoughts for you are not evil, but good to expected end. In other words, God is not seeking to hurt you or punish you, but God has a purpose and a plan, and he wants to work in and through your life. The Bible says that that which he has begun, he's able to complete. So that which he started in your salvation, he's able to take you all the way through and work in your life. Here in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good. So here we go again. He was absolutely confident that everything that happened to him happened in order that things might happen in him, so great things would begin to happen through him. Now, I'm not going to say that again. So you figure that out. Great things in him, great things through him, and great things all around him. In other words, God was working in his life. So he could say, these light afflictions worketh in me. That's the key, worketh in me. Not in you, but in me. The trials, the agony, the pain. The times that I had this sentence of death in myself. I was perplexed, distressed, perils of countrymen, perils of robbers. All the things that came upon my life. Being beaten 3 times with a rod. Being whipped 5 different times, 39 different times, being shipwrecked 3 different times, and being in the night and day in the Mediterranean, everything was working out for the glory of God. When I was stoned in Lystra, it was for the glory of God. And though he didn't understand it, he knew that God was working in and through his life. Now you look at your marriage, or you look at your single life, or you look at your relationships, and you look at all the things that are wrong in your life, and God is saying, listen, I'm working in and through your life for the glory of God. That which he has started, he's going to complete. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he'll make all things beautiful in their time, because you love him. So the important thing is that when Paul woke up, not only did he have a heart that God was able to save him, but secondly, that God was ordering his day. He knew that God was going to guide him. Even as I was home the other day, and this guy called me, and they asked me to come down, I believe with all my heart that God had to bring him to that moment, and God wanted me to see the terror within his eyes so I could stand before you and tell you that that does not need to happen in your life. But when we left, he understood the goodness of God and the grace of God. And so I overcome my fears and my great insecurities because God is able to save me. And secondly, because God is able to work in my life for the glory of God. Everything has to go through his hand in a very powerful way. And then number three, we come to our text. He says, I know that God will take me home. And so we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know. Now going back just for a moment, stay where you are. It says in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And then in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work for the good. And then here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we would have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal within the heavens. One day, God is going to take you home. And Paul believed that, listen, if you want to take my life, great. I know that God is in it. I know God is able. And I know that God has prepared a place for me. And when you and I begin to believe these three simple exhortations in our life, that there's no doubt that God is able, no doubt that God wants to, and no doubt that God has a home for our life, we can walk through this earth in a very powerful way. Nothing's going to stop us. We're not going to be afraid of one single thing in our life. Because if we go through it, God's going to work it out. If we have a difficult time, God's going to save us. If we die, we're going to go to heaven. So Paul said, we gain. So as a Christian, you are not to be afraid of dying. You're not to be frightened over the possibility of you taking your very last breath. The Bible declares that you're going to dissolve. But when this body dissolves, God has a body made without hands. Not that you would be clothed naked, but you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and you will stand before God absolutely pure, and God will do a work far beyond, and there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more agony. You're going to have a wonderful time. So when I do a funeral, when I kind of do a wedding, I kind of make a mistake, and I call weddings funerals. I don't know why, I've done it for 30 years, and I call funerals weddings. I just do it. I don't know why, but I really do. I always get the two mixed up, and I think maybe because when you get married, you're going to have to die. That's all there is to it. It's going to be a funeral. Someone's going to die in this relationship. But when you die, man, it's going to be a party. You're going to be with the Lord, eating bagels, having a wonderful time in heaven. And you're going to see him face to face. And you're going to have a brand new body. And you're going to be able to rejoice that you are there. You're going to be standing in the streets of gold. You're going to be around in a city that maker is God. And there's no city like this. Every city that you look upon has death. Every place you look upon has sorrow. But this is the place that you begin to understand. And so we look at our problems today. We look at all the anxiety of our life and we say, how do I get out of this mess? How do I overcome it? We go to seminars and we listen to tapes and we read books about depression. And we go to doctors seeking to get an answer. But the answer is very simple. Do you believe that God is able to save you? And do you believe that God has saved you? In a wonderful way, a miraculous way, that God reached down, took your heart, and transformed you. And he's given you a brand new life in Jesus Christ. All the things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. Do you really believe that? Are you a brand new person in Christ Jesus? Once I was driven by sin, now I'm driven by the kingdom of God. Once I was in darkness, now I'm in the marvelous light. Once I was heading towards sin, now I'm heading towards Christianity. Once I was lost, but now I'm saved. In other words, I stand before you, knowing that God saved my life. But more than that, God has been working for the last 35 years in my life. And He has worked through difficult things and difficult situations. And God has used everything and every person and every situation to work in my life because it works an eternal weight of glory. And so you have sat here and watched me change, and I've watched you change, and God is in your life, and God is around your life, and God is going to do something very special. You're saying, well, Steve, I'm going through it. I know. It's a light affliction. No, I lost my wife. It's a light affliction. Because one day, you're going to be with her. And one day, there will be no more sorrow. But right now, God is working in and through our lives. And lastly, you're going to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. So you can wake up in the morning and have a terrible day, and you can say, God, you're able to save me. And God, you're able to work this mess out. And God, if the whole thing falls apart and I die in an earthquake, I'm going to see you. So I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live discouraged. I'm not going to live in debt. God, I'm going to look to you in a very powerful way. And that was the secret of Paul's life. You see, he caught a glimpse of heaven. And that's all he wanted. He just wanted to go to heaven. And so he said, I earnestly desire to go to heaven and see Jesus Christ. What a way to live. What a wonderful way to live. You can turn to people and say, guess what? I'm going to heaven. I don't think so. Not you. If you go to heaven, I don't want to be there. Well, listen, you want to go to heaven regardless. You don't want to go to the other place. But to walk around with terror, to walk around with such unbelief, it's almost as God is dead. And today, God is able to touch you. And secondly, God is able to still work in your life. And thirdly, God wants to take you home to be with Him for the rest of your life. There's no one that loves you more than God. Father, we thank you for your hand of kindness, and Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit. If only we could imagine, if only we could ponder our lives. Sometimes I think that our lives are just too busy. And God, we're so concerned about what people think and what people do. And sometimes in your tremendous love, you stick us in a hospital. God, on the very edge of life and death. And you sweep away everything that is not important. And you bring us face to face with our greatest fears. Lord, every day Paul knew that he was going to die. Every day he lived his life. He lived it for the glory of God. And God, I want to know, what was his secret? How can I, in this life, at this time, with all the uncertainties around us, how can I be so certain? Well, God, to me, you've given me the answer. That God, that you are able to change a sinner. And that God, that you are able to work within my life. And God, you are willing to take me home, to dance in the streets of gold, to see the Master. You know, as we quiet our hearts before Him, I've asked Kevin to sing a song. And then I'm going to give you a chance to really make that commitment to Christ. Let the Lord minister to your heart.
Only imagine what it'll be like when I'm walking by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking right at me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. All creation bow down, the whole universe saying your name out loud. I can only imagine all our broken lives resurrected in the healing light. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Father, we can much more than imagine we can experience. And Father, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there are some today that are so afraid that, God, they live in absolute terror. And God, they've been looking for an answer. Or maybe our lives are not right with you. How can we resist a God that loves us so supremely, that's willing to save us, willing to work in us, and willing to take us home? If you'd like to ask Christ to come into your heart or rededicate your life, or have the Lord remove that fear and give you the confidence, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? And raise them high that I might see him. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. Oh, don't hesitate. God bless. God bless you. God bless you. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. This is life. God bless you. And God bless you. This is the confidence that you need in your life, to have a life full and rich of the power of Jesus Christ. Anyone else? God bless you. Father, we thank you. Lord, these are good decisions. 30 years ago, I made this decision. And I thank you, Lord, for the confidence you've given to me. Lord, we want to be like Paul. We want to walk through this earth with absolute confidence. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?